Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Go!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd, freakishly tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Would you kindly help me be a geek? Friel? You don't need our help. Yes, I do. This is Wretched Radio. It is mailbag day, not our traditional mailbag day, but we are dedicating the entire week to stuff you send to idea@wretched.org. And I am encouraging you, pleading with you, please send stuff so I can geek out. For instance, Jimmy, this was sent to me. It's actually a doctoral thesis from a fellow at Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary from 2022. And it's about this generation. No, not Gen Z's. Talking about in Matthew chapter 24, 34, this generation will not pass away until these things happen.
Yeah.
Who's that generation? It is a total geek out. I don't know how long this thing is. It's super long. I read every single word. I don't know that we'll ever be able to get into it here on Wretched Radio, but it's like, oh, that's really clever. And Greek word study, whatever it is that you think is geeky, I will feast on it if you send it to idea@wretched.org. And if you got to yourself some questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks, or Peter Brady called, he wants his voice back. Please send it to 877-282-2337.
All right, we start with a question, a text from Anonymous. Todd, my past haunts me. I was pregnant before marriage when I was young. We got married because I was pregnant. He was abusive, so I divorced him. Mm. I got married again at 25 and was married for almost 13 years. However, he grew drugs in our home and became an addict. I divorced him. I was baptized when I was 12 but didn't follow Jesus. Now I have a relationship with him and follow him. I am remarried once again, according to the Bible. This time, I have begged God for forgiveness, but my past still haunts me. I believe I am a new creation in Christ and understand what my vows mean. However, am I forgiven?
Yes. If you've repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ, it was declared from heaven, forgiven. And your slate, incidentally, wasn't merely made clean. You're not just forgiven. Not to minimize forgiveness, it's kind of massive. But you are more than forgiven. It's not like God just erased your rap sheet. Instead, he took Jesus' resume and put it on your file so that you aren't just seen as forgiven. You are seen as the righteousness of God in Christ. That's who you are. You are called as a saint. You are a Christ one. You're a new creation. That is who you are. And nobody, including yourself, should be thinking that your past has somehow separated you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So it's a definitive, absolutely, if you're in Christ, your sins are forgiven. That is the glory of the cross. Now, how can you get to that place? Because me just saying it one time, it might help you grab something and go, okay, that's a good thought, but maybe that just hasn't erased all of the memories, the shame and the guilt, and you still feel that burden on your back that Jesus has already taken for you. How do you get over it? That's the question. I would encourage you to focus on particular things. I would encourage you. This is where Bible reading for need, I think, is so important. Right now, this woman has a need. She still feels the burden of her sins. She still feels perhaps shame, guilt, regrets. How do you get rid of those things? The answer is you focus on the attributes of God that support the fact that Jesus Christ forgives all sins. He's the merciful, beneficent Savior. He's generous. He's filled with loving kindness and mercy. You go read about that in your Bible. You go read about that Jesus right there. Listen to sermons that are about the goodness of God and the expansive nature of his saving grace. Read about those things because that's where you're at right now. And that's always an excellent way to read the Bible. It's always an excellent way to download information about God because you're going to apply it. Sometimes we can hear something really great and it just, there it is. It's up in your brain, but it doesn't do anything for you. Well, when you have a need and you are consuming what addresses that need, you're more likely to work hard to appropriate that, to meditate on that, to chew on your Bible, to consume God's word. Though, read for need. Hey, that's a book. That could be, that's in book. Lifeway. I'm sure Lifeway doesn't have a bookstore anymore. The point is, that's got a evangelical bestseller written all over it. Read for need. Now, that isn't necessarily the only way that you want to study your Bible or consume sermons, but isn't that what theology is for? Really? Isn't that what it's for? To ultimately help you love the Lord more? To enjoy him more? That's the purpose of theology. So go find those sermons. Go listen to that type of preacher. Christ exalting, sinner forgiving preaching. Read about the wonderful attributes of God and think about how amazing he must be that he would forgive a sinner like thee. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, my husband and I recently found out that the assistant pastor at our church was released from ministry due to inappropriate relationships with other women, not his wife. However, the congregation was told in a service that he was stepping down due to another reason. We feel betrayed that there was a lie told to us by our pastor from the pulpit, but I really don't know how this should have been handled differently.
Okay, my question would be, do you know definitively it was a lie? And the only way to know that is to go to the source. And so if you feel potentially like there's a possibility that the pastor was deceptive, which I got to tell you, there's a line between lying and discretion. I can understand perhaps practicing some discretion. I think a much stronger biblical argument can be made for full transparency. It just saves any tap dancing. It just saves any, well, we can't, we, what were we going to say about that with the situation and the guy who did the, just being transparent. That's the path that I think is better. But I understand discretion. So you're going to have to go to the source and ask him, hey, this was our understanding. This is what you said. Could you harmonize those two for us and explain that? Don't accuse, don't point a finger, because you don't know. You're going to be seeing the other side. And that's the only way you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that your pastor was lying, because, well, that's a big accusation there. That's kind of a whopper right there. So you're going to want to go to the source himself, pray about it. Do your homework without it turning into a gossip fest, and then lovingly and respectfully approach him. And then you'll know the truth, and you can make decisions based on that. 877-282-2337.
This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, do you believe that God still speaks to us? For example, is it worthwhile to practice sitting in silence and listening for God's voice?
This is not popular these days in evangelicalism, but absolutely God speaks to you through his word, through his people, when they are using the Bible for the information that they're sharing with you. Should you sit quietly and listen for God's voice? I don't see that command given in Scripture. I don't see that encouragement given in Scripture. Furthermore, our brains are tricky little things, aren't they? I can have a conversation, I think, with God. I can do that. I could manufacture a conversation right now with anybody and have them speaking full paragraphs. I can. So can you. My question would be, how do you know it's God? And if then you have to read a book that spends 200 pages, how to discern the voice of God, I would be skeptical of that. I would be so leery of that. It's like, well, shouldn't it be simpler than that? And I think the answer is yes, it is simpler. Everything we need for life and godliness is found in this book. Everything. Everything. So if 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 is to be believed, that all scripture, all of it, is profitable for doctrine, for correction, instruction, everything, for everything, that the man of God might be equipped for every good work, then there's no necessity for additional communication from God. And we need to then understand, I think, I get it. It's like, well, I'd kind of like some specific instructions. Well, you've got specific instructions. You just need to go find them in that book, get wise, godly, biblical counsel, and then you're being guided by God. Then you're being led by the Holy Spirit, and we should be thrilled that we get all of that and be satisfied. Wow, God has spoken. It's in His Word. He's spoken to us through His Son. In the past, He did those things, but today He has spoken to us through His Son, and we should be totally content and downright thrilled with that. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Crotch breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Bigney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside down world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit fortisinstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. Jerome was a 4th century Christian theologian and one of the original four doctors of the church. His most important work was the Latin Vulgate, a translation of the scriptures from Hebrew and Greek into Latin, the vernacular of his day. The Vulgate remained the preeminent translation of the Bible
for a millennium.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Another example. This is Wretched Radio. Thank you very much for sending wretched things to idea@wretched.org. For instance, from church leaders, it's a Barna survey. Another sign, something is going on with young people in America. I'm telling you, if you go to a university campus and engage with virtually any student, you're going to hear it. You're going to feel it. There is a stirring. I'm not saying that it's a Holy Spirit stirring. It could be in some instances, but I'm saying there's a stirring in that people on campuses are going, what? Why? This is... Is there a better, does somebody, they are having questions and doubts about the worldview that they have been fed, and they are looking for something better as well they should. That is why if you're a local church and you're near a university campus, please become a campus ministry, please, and have a regular presence on that campus. It will be some of the most gratifying ministry your church will ever do, or your money back. Here's a sign. Barna data, young adults lead a resurgence in church attendance. Mostly young males, but millennials and Gen Z are driving a resurgence in church attendance. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they got saved and they're coming in. It doesn't mean they're going to get saved when they get there, but it means they're coming. And it's just, to me, another demonstration. If you've been afraid to evangelize because you thought that maybe the person you were talking to would get agitated with you, it could happen. It really could. I think it maybe is 2% of the time. If I had to pick a number, it's well under 10% of the time. Well under 10% of the time. You're going to get somebody who's like, nah. And by the way, that shouldn't hurt a lot. I know it does. Hey, could I talk to you about your soul? Not interested. Okay. They didn't just say something nasty about your heritage. They just said no. Move on to the next one, because I think about 95, 98% of the time they will talk to you and they will listen. All we got to do is go and send things to idea@wretched.org. That's all we got to do. Just go and evangelize and send stuff. That's it. That's the list. Just two boxes to check. Go and evangelize and send wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org. Did you just sniff into your microphone?
I thought I turned it off.
You had to get your spit under control.
No, it was a sniff.
I have to do that sometimes.
Yeah.
No, not the sniff.
No.
Getting my spit under control.
Oh, you spit everywhere when you talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
You take your mic cover home and wash it from time to time, don't you?
I do it right here.
Okay.
In the sink with super hot water and lots of soap. It takes a long time. I burn my hands like nobody's business, but you got to do it, because otherwise you can get repulsed by your own spit. Trust me. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Alex. Todd Assurance. Sorry about that. Assurance has been a real struggle for me. Recently, I've been studying 1 John for biblical evidence of true faith and repentance. However, I find myself failing miserably at the tests of faith in 1 John. I try to rest in Christ so I can bear good fruit, but how can I rest if it seems I'm not even regenerated?
Well, I'd want to spend more time talking to you about that. 1 John is there because it does include no less than 10 questions, tests, if you will, to determine if you're genuinely saved. I mean, it's there. We use it. It's edifying. By the way, has lots of good Christology inside of it. But simultaneously, I think that we need to remember other teachings in the Bible, because if you use the test in 1 John strictly, you're going to hell, because ain't nobody matching that standard. Nobody, not know how. Because if you really take a look at any of those, for instance, you say that you're a Christian, you don't love your brother, then you're not. How can the love of God be in you? You just say, be well, be fed, and you don't help him? That is not the mark of a Christian. Okay. Now, do I hate my brothers? No, I can't think of anybody I hate, actually. I can't think of anybody that I hate. But that is not, but if I want to keep digging in on that, it's more than just not hating. It is to love my brother. We're commanded to love one another. And again, more 1 John. Okay, so now the standard is I need to love my brothers. And how intensely am I supposed to love them? The answer is, as much as I love myself, I'm not going to be able to accomplish that. I don't have that much loving because most of it goes to me. And I don't love the brothers and the sisters as much as I love myself. And therefore, I'm not a Christian. Uh-oh, that's a problem. We want to make sure that we see the mark of a Christian is you're not hating people and you're loving them as best you can where you're at with the resources that you've got, but you're never going to be able to do it perfectly. You're just not. And that shouldn't discourage you. So use those tests, but maybe a better way to ask the question is, do I love the brethren more today than I did 5 years ago? And if your answer to that is no, there's two options. One of them could be that is a sign you're not saved, but I wouldn't use that one mark to make that declaration. Second of all, it could be that it's an area you need to get to work on. That's what sanctification is. And it could just be that you've been negligent in that regard. Perhaps you've been selfish, whatever it is. You can get to work on that. So be careful. Use those tests, but use them thoughtfully, recognizing you're never going to meet the standard, ever. Jesus did, you get the credit. So here, there's two questions that I think you can ask that are better than, am I meeting that standard? Because the answer is no, you're not. Nobody would be a Christian then. We know that's not right. So I think a better question is, am I doing better today than yesterday or 5 years ago or 10 years ago? That's a good one. Here's the second question that is also, I think, really helpful. How much do I want to obey that? How much do I want to be doing that? I really do want to be loving the brethren, Lord. I really, really do. That's a better sign than are you doing it perfectly? You got any more to that, Jimmy?
Yeah, I would just say First John's not about the tests in First John. It's not about perfection. It's about your direction, how you're doing. He's talking about walking in light and walking in darkness. And so he's not saying, do you ever stumble? He's saying, he's saying, what road are you on? You're just looking at how you're doing. Yeah, it's not, if I ever do this, it's over.
Yeah, because if you just take it at face value, nobody would say they passed. Nobody. Now, what do you do with that? So everybody's condemned? Certainly not. Furthermore, John, if you had to pick all of the letters that were written in the New Testament, I think John was probably the most pastoral. He's the disciple of love. And so he's not going to write something that shipwrecks people's faith. He's writing to encourage them. So if you can look at your life and go, you know what? I used to not have a really good attitude about brothers and sisters, but now, you know, I guess I do like hanging out with them. Boom, there you go. Now, you can stop right there on the examination scale, because if you use the next step on the examination scale, that's when you're going to fall down, go boom. Am I doing it perfectly? Oh, no, I'm not a Christian. But you still can ask that question to say, am I doing it to the max that I can? The answer is no. All right, Lord, keep growing me, keep showing me, keep teaching me, keep empowering me so that I can love the brethren the way that, you know, you do. So be a little bit more, is retrospective correct? Just I think a little bit more thorough in how you ask those questions. Otherwise, you're going to be really bummed out. 877-282-2337.
This is from Kayla. Todd, our pastor and his wife have seemingly out of nowhere decided that women shouldn't be teaching women. They say they're sorting it out, trying to be more biblical, but thus far it's a private matter. Our regular women's Bible study came to a halt a few months ago when this idea arose. It's had a personal impact on me. Can you help me understand if their stance has any biblical basis at all?
I understand what they're driving for. I do. I suspect most churches don't even ponder this subject, and that is who's qualified to do what, because it's like, do we have a warm body for the seventh graders? Get in there. A lot of churches are that way, maybe by necessity, maybe by neglect, but we should be thinking about who's qualified to do the teaching in the church. And it seems They're striving for a high standard. So I look at that. Now, this is not a judgment call on their decision, but I look at that and say, props to you. It sounds like, unless they're legalists in the correct sense of the word, it sounds like they're just striving. And so I applaud that. Now, of course, the question is, who's the arbiter? Who determines? And the answer to that is the Bible. What do I see there? Titus 2, that women are to teach women. Now, in that context, it's in the home, not in the church. But specifically, the admonition for women in teaching, it's over men. That's not a prohibition over people, that women shouldn't teach women. No, it's a church authority and structure and order issue. So historically, at least in evangelicalism, women have taught women. I don't agree with where they perhaps arrived at their destination, but I applaud their desire to be godly and biblical about it. What should you do about it? Keep talking to them. Keep loving them. Keep respecting them. Keep engaging with them. And if it comes down to this issue, should you leave the church? I don't think this would rise to that level. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Two University of Illinois professors caught over 100 students using AI to cheat on attendance. And then they used AI to generate apology emails when they got caught. The two professors discovered students were logging responses remotely while physically absent from their data science course. And the real kicker, when confronted, the students sent nearly identical AI-generated apology emails. The professors read them aloud in a packed lecture hall to audible laughter. And despite the evidence, no one faces discipline because the university's code doesn't yet address AI-generated content. Of course it doesn't. Texas Acting Comptroller Kelly Hancock suspended a statewide program that prioritized non-white male businesses in state contracting, putting over $4 billion in annual awards on hold. To qualify as a historically underutilized business, companies must be more than 50% owned by minorities, women, or service-disabled veterans, which Hancock summarized as, unless you're white, you qualify. King Charles stripped his brother Andrew of the prince title and evicted him from his royal home after continuous blowback from the Jeffrey Epstein scandal. Prince Andrew, now just Andrew Windsor, lost his Duke of York title and other honors, with Buckingham Palace making clear their thoughts and utmost sympathies have been and will remain with the victims and survivors of any and all forms of abuse. Andrew reportedly did not object to the king's decision. The Justice Department has launched a federal investigation into whether Black Lives Matter defrauded donors who gave over $90 million during the 2020 riots. Federal authorities issued subpoenas and executed search warrants focusing on the foundation's financial dealings after co-founder Patrice Cullors used BLM funds to purchase a $6 million Los Angeles mansion. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth told Southeast Asian allies recently that America stands ready to share technology to counter China's aggression in the South China Sea. Illinois has passed legislation banning federal immigration enforcement within 1,000 feet of courthouses, making it one of a few Democrat-led states to severely restrict ICE arrests. The bill, now headed to Governor J.B. Pritzker, comes after the Midway Blitz operation arrested over 3,000 illegal aliens in Illinois and Indiana, including individuals convicted of rape, murder, and gang activity. A Florida jury convicted Donovan Faison of first-degree murder for shooting his pregnant girlfriend in the head after she refused to abort their baby. Investigators found an ultrasound photo near her body. The baby was nearing the end of its first trimester. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 1456. Johann Gutenberg produces the first printed Bible, and his press becomes a means for dissemination of new ideas and catalyzing changes in politics and theology. Without the printing press, the Reformation may have looked very different. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And you thought bill collectors were annoying. This is Wretched Radio. Do they still have bill collectors, people who call you up and just hound you for it? Or do they just somehow able to get to the paperwork, get to your bank, and just take the money out. In the old days, there used to be bill collectors. Hey, you're late on this payment. When are you going to make it? If you don't make it by this date, then here's the penalty. And if you don't make it by this date, basically, we're going to take everything you own. That ain't nothing new. There was just a discovery in Jerusalem, First Temple era. A Syrian inscription was found in Jerusalem. It was a communication between the Assyrian Empire and the King of Judah. It was located right next to the Western Wall in Jerusalem. What's the inscription about? What are they talking about? You're late on your payments, Israel. Well, in that case, it would be Judah with Assyria. The point is, they were bill collectors. The rare historical evidence of the link between the two kingdoms would indicate a deliberate tax revolt, because the words were a complaint about a delayed payment expected by the Assyrian Empire from the King of Judah. It could have been King Hezekiah's rebellion against Sennacherib. That's described in 2 Kings 18 and 19. Hezekiah was supposed to give 300 talents of silver, 30 talents of gold. That's a lot. And apparently he was late. It could have been. And so they sent him a bill collection. The dating of the pottery shards suggests that the recipient would either be King Hezekiah, Manasseh, maybe Josiah, who all reigned during the period during which Judah was a vassal kingdom of Assyria. Once again, history, it repeats itself over and over and over again. Archaeological evidence supports the veracity and the accuracy of the Bible. Do you know where I got this? That's right. You sent it to idea@wretched.org. That means if you see something wretched, please send it. idea@wretched.org. We are having ourselves a mailbag week here at Wretched Radio, so keep sending questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to 877-282-2337. Okay. I'm going to say something really bad about Mike Fabares.
Oh.
Yeah, I got it. So I was watching him. He popped up in my feed. Yeah. Which is kind of weird because I'd just been texting with him. And he pops up. He was hosting, it's Ask Pastor Mike. I think that's the program that he has on CSN, a network of which we're a part, thrilled to pieces to be a part of. And so he sits at his computer and he just interacts with people who call. And he, wow, the questions he was getting. I was like, you go get him, Mike. And he more than aptly handled them. But this is how he gave the instructions for how to call. So just call 877-282-2337. That's 877-282-2337. Because he's kind of a fast talker. Okay, he wasn't slurring like I am. But he was like, dude, you're just speed reading them numbers. So there it is. There's my big bellyache against Mike Fabares. I don't think he's really a Christian. I think we need to divide. Hey, that's the spirit for real.
Don't divide until you write a blog about him.
No. I mean, never write a blog about him. Make a video about him. No, that's what right. I would do. In fact, I've got his book right here. Preaching That Changes Lives. We've never really gotten into this book like I'd like to, because I just fear it's maybe a little too geeky for sermon talk. But if you're ever in Orange County, visit his church, Compass Bible Church, visit it and participate in the worship. Enjoy it like crazy, but study the whole place. There's a vibe at a church, isn't there? There just is. And it is a big complex. But you just feel loved when you go there. And that is from the consistency of good preaching from the pulpit for decades. It's Compass Bible Church, Orange County, which I got to tell you something. If I ever had to move to California, and it would have to be a had to move to California, Orange County ain't bad, Jimmy. Orange County, pretty nifty place. I'm telling you. Pretty she is what it is.
She.
It's just, it doesn't feel like California, which is why I think I like it. it's just a nice place. You know, okay, here's another one. Above where Master's U is. That's a nice place.
Santa Clarita?
That's pretty, I get this. I see, boy, does it get hot. when we were out for the MacArthur Memorial, I felt like I should be on a spinning dish because I was like in a microwave. Just somebody ring the bell and put an end to this heat. But that's a very lovely part of the world. Okay, I take it back. Not only Orange County and northern Los Angeles, but what about the coast? San Francisco up, the Redwoods. Oh, man, that's gorgeous stuff. I just saw a map after the elections and they did the redistricting vote, was it about a week ago? And the red and the blue, it's like there is definitely a swath of red. There's just a bigger swath of blue. Right. That's the problem right there. But there are some places in California, I'm telling you, they are wow. Okay. All right. All right. All right. Got it. What about where the celebrities live? The
Beverly Hills.
Yeah. I think that might be old school. Not sure, but I think that's, not Bel Ray, Del Rey. And it's like Santa Monica.
Bel Air?
Can you tell we don't get out much? No, it's north of Los Angeles, but it's Malibu. That's like real Tony right there. But I can only imagine what is the cost of, would you AI, what's the cost per square foot of a home in Malibu?
Okay.
All right. I'm going to guess almost $1,000 a foot. Want to bet? Because I'm telling, that's really like ka-ching. Look at you just diving into your AI machine. Whilst Jimmy is AIing, would you please assemble wretched things? You can send them to idea@wretched.org or you can call 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Joe. Todd, what makes Eastern Orthodox heretical? I've Googled it and still can't figure it out.
You can't figure it out. And you probably won't because you don't possess an Eastern mind. That's a problem. Second problem is they are willing to introduce tradition, the teaching of the patriarchs as being on par with the Bible. That's just, now you got yourself a debate that is almost impossible to have because you're not using the same source material. Furthermore, you've got words that mean different things. They just do. The word justification is, when I was trying to figure out Eastern Orthodoxy, I focused on justification. I wanted to dive into it. I could not get a description of justification that was like, okay, that makes sense. I got it right there. So as best I can tell, there's other issues with Eastern Orthodoxy, and not least of which is, of course, sola scriptura, but it's salvation by grace alone. Grace alone. No works. Grace alone, justified because of the propitiating work of Jesus Christ. I can't find it in Eastern Orthodoxy. And that is why when I do talk to somebody from the Eastern Orthodox Church, I try to avoid these conversations because in fact, you remember a number of years ago, I was down at UGA walking through the student center and there was an Eastern Orthodox priest, nice fellow. He had set up a booth. He was talking to the kids, trying to bring them into the church. I talked to him for an hour and I walked away and I thought I was a cartoon character. What do you mean by, so when you say, but what about, but didn't you just say that it was really difficult because I'm not sure they really have it articulated well. So I tried to stick with, rather than getting into, because that fellow, he quoted the patriarchs, I don't think he quoted the Bible once. Well, Cyril of Alexandria once wrote, I don't care. What does the Bible say? So it's a conversation that's difficult. Stick with the conscience. Let the weight of the law weigh them down so that they feel its heavy burden and then point them to Jesus who saves by grace alone through faith alone. Jimmy, what's the cost per square foot in Malibu?
How much did you say?
$1,000.
$1,700. $1,700. That's on average. And premium ocean front can easily run $2,000 to $5,000 per foot. Yeah.
God bless America. Well, you know, they all have to give an account to God with what they do with their money. And if somebody out there is a believer and they're using it for the glory of God and they are not using it sinfully with the wrong motives, I just don't see that we can say that a Christian is capped with square foot. It depends on what their heart is toward it. Depends on their attitude. It depends on why they're doing it. Because I can't afford $5,000 a square foot. Oh, man. And I find that really preposterous. Could there be believers who can handle that? And their money isn't an idol? It can be hard. I grant you that because the Bible says so. But it can be done. It can be done. I'm just personally glad I don't have to be the one to try to do that because... This is Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in count sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes. And there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org.
Books of the Bible. The book of Job answers the question, why do the righteous suffer? When Job loses everything, his friends blame him. But when Job questions the Lord, he responds, God is sovereign and he is good. His ways are beyond our understanding. When you suffer, know that God is in control. He has his own purposes that you may not understand. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Jimmy.
Yes.
Ready for some AI homework? This is Wretched Radio. Would you be so kind? Ask the AI machine, what is the official Eastern Orthodox position on the doctrine of justification? This won't necessarily be trustworthy. I don't know what the sources are. I am increasingly skeptical of the AI machine. But let's just see if they can even articulate it, because that was my challenge with Eastern Orthodoxy. I know we were both speaking English. I hear words that I recognize, but we are talking right past each other. And it is, as best I can tell, it is the there are other issues, but the doctrine of justification really is the biggie, because I've not heard an Eastern Orthodox priest or author say, we are absolutely positively saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Would you kindly send stuff? Do you know about Eastern Orthodoxy? Tell me about it. idea@wretched.org, or you can text away 87. So you got it already, Jimmy?
No, it's thinking.
It's, that's a sign right there that it's having to think. Because, Nora, you know, ask it. What was the biggest hit of the Beatles? Bang, there it is for you right there. Ask it what the Eastern Orthodox position on justification is.
I think I've got it.
All right, what do you got?
It says, in Eastern Orthodoxy, there isn't a single magisterial definition like the Council of Trent in Roman Catholicism, but there is an authoritative pan-Orthodox statement that functions as the closest thing to an official position.
Okay, hold on. What is pan-Orthodox?
I don't have any idea, but it comes. Their position comes from the Synod of Jerusalem in 1672.
Okay.
And it says what it teaches about justification is it's not by faith alone. We believe a man to not simply justified through faith alone, but through faith which works through love. That is to say, through faith and works.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is very similar to the Roman Catholic position.
Right.
It sounds, you know, these acts of love. Oh, that sounds so, you know, loving. Well, no, it's actually a work. If you have to do something to get saved, if you have to do something to maintain your salvation, that crosses the line into works righteousness. So back when I was trying to study Eastern Orthodoxy, I didn't have the AI machine. So it looks like AI is having come to the same conclusion. There is not an official position to be found on the subject.
Yeah.
And that's that when you witness to somebody who's Eastern Orthodox, most likely, I think our assumption should be, not because I'm trying to impute ill, but I think the assumption is they're trying to work their way to heaven. They're trying to work their way to heaven. So you could begin by asking questions. How are you doing on getting yourself justified before God? How's your progress? Where are you at? What's your confidence level that you will go to heaven? On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that your works are going to get you to heaven? None of them are going to say a 10. Yep, fully confident. They can't be, because they know themselves, if they're at least somewhat honest. They know that they're not going to go. You could then tell them, oh, have I got great news for you. Let me open up the Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. Let me open the Bible to Titus chapter 3. Let me show you that we are justified by Jesus Christ alone, and that your works are the response to being forgiven, but they don't earn your forgiveness. Isn't that great news, my Eastern Orthodox friend? Isn't that wonderful? You could have that. You could have mercy, total, complete, because of Jesus Christ. You can have that. That's what he did on the cross. That is, maybe somebody's got a better suggestion. If witnessing and engaging with somebody who's Eastern Orthodox, let the weight of their sin fall on them. Let them feel their failure. And then proclaim the one who never failed, never does fail, never will fail, who provides complete forgiveness. Jesus Christ. Okay, Jimmy, you're making faces.
Well,
there.
I was just reading the summary. It's talking about the distinction between Eastern Orthodox and traditional Christianity. It says Eastern Orthodox says justification is part of a transformative sacramental.
That's right. Yes.
Synergistic.
Hold on a second before you go further. There's a name for you're becoming divine. Hmm. That's it. You've reminded that. Look, there's probably a term there. It's not sanctification, it's deification. You're working on getting yourself to become godlike so you can be acceptable to God. All right, keep going with what you got.
It's sacramental and a synergistic salvation, faith working through love. But traditional Christianity, justification is forensic, grounded in Christ's imputed righteousness received by faith alone with good works as necessary fruit, not co-causes.
Well, that's Protestant.
Yeah.
Not necessarily traditional Christianity. While there were certainly those throughout the ages that believed that, that was not, and still is not, the official position of the Roman Catholic Church. You've got great news to share with an Eastern Orthodox. You really do. You really, really do. Don't, if the second that you start feeling like there's a fog descending on you, get it back to the burden on their back and the one who will take it off for them. 877-282-2337.
So let's stay in this realm because the next question is from Anonymous who texted in, Todd, how do I know and defend biblically against the Catholic belief that we do some good and Christ does the rest in salvation? And to someone who thinks that that's not a big difference salvifically and says our beliefs aren't that different.
Sure. I think painting a picture could be the most simple way to help them imagine this. And I think that I would begin with some questions. Why did Jesus die on the cross? And you're going to get varying answers, but perhaps you could share with them. It is to bring great glory to God that he would condescend to become flesh, to dwell among us, to live a perfect life of righteousness and to be brutally beaten and crucified as the payment for our sins, that we might be reconciled to God so that we could actually have a relationship with God and that he would be glorified for being such an amazing God. That's the purpose of the cross right there. Now, if I can do stuff and then he does the rest, who's going to get the credit for my salvation? Both of us. That's not why Jesus came to die. Jesus came to die for sinners because we can't save ourselves. I think that would be a good second point, wouldn't it? First of all, it robs God of his glory. His salvific work is all about receiving glory for being so merciful. And if I can do something to contribute to that, then he doesn't get all of the credit that he deserves. That's a really big problem. But secondarily, a ton of Bible verses would be violated. All of my righteous deeds as a sinner are like filthy rags. I can't save myself in any way, shape, or form, not even partially, kind of, because my deeds are offered from sin-stained hands. I can't save myself. So for all of those reasons, to the individual who's, by the way, you do your best, Jesus does the rest, that's Mormon dogma also. And so we would reject that because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He is the only, a sinner can't save a sinner. We need a pristine sacrifice and we have one in Jesus. Thankfully, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Paul. He texted in, Todd, how important is it for a local church to serve the needy in their community?
How important is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's important. Should you be doing it? That's up to you, local church. There's a ton of stuff that's important. Helping families get stronger in your community. That's important. Making sure that single mothers have diapers for the... That's important. Maybe having a food pantry for poor people in your community. All of those things are important, but every local church cannot do every single thing that's important. You just can't. And so the autonomy of the church, and I think the brilliance of God, allows for that. The different churches sort of... You've got the body inside of the body of the church functioning in different ways. You got elbows and knees doing different things for the functioning of the body. But I think also we can see that on a bigger scale, this church does this, this church does that, because one church can't do everything. And so it is up, I think, to the elders to spend time taking a look, do some reconnaissance. Where are we at? Where are our people at? What are our skills? What extra do we have here that we could disseminate to the community? Because the primary, the essential functioning of the church is for the brethren. Then you can move out to your community. Then you can move out to your state, nation, and to the globe as you can. This is, if you will, the amore salutis. There's circles. You can only do so much because we all have limited resources. So I would say, yeah, it's important. What a local church does with that is up to the local church. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.